A new plan to drill for oil.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon. After decades of being off limits, the east coast of the U.S. is about to be open to oil drilling. Exploration will also be expanded in the eastern Gulf of Mexico and the north coast of Alaska. President Obama is expected to announce a new policy today at an energy security event with his Interior Secretary. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman joins us live now with details. Good morning, Mitchell.
Good morning, Bob.
What's behind this new policy?
Well, you know, even when he was a candidate, President Obama said he wanted to expand drilling in a targeted way to reduce dependence on foreign oil. There's also a strong political dimension here. Oil companies have been itching to drill offshore, and their allies in Congress might get behind climate change legislation if they get thrown this bone. That's the hope.
And where would drilling be permitted now?
Well, after significant geological and environmental surveying, which, of course, would take several years, things could open up along the Atlantic coast from Florida to Delaware, but not farther north, the eastern end of the Gulf of Mexico and the Arctic coast north of Alaska. Some places would stay off limits, including Alaska's fishing grounds in the Pacific and everything from Washington down to California. The first lease off Virginia is actually already in the works. I asked Tony McCauley, who edits The Economist's Energy Briefing, how much oil there might be.
For the Virginia area, for example, I've seen a figure from just on the oil side of something the order of 130 million barrels, which is, in the broad scheme of things, not that much. In the extended parts of the Gulf, the kind of numbers are more in the order of several billion barrels and significant amounts of natural gas as well.
Would this amount of oil make a dent in U.S. supplies?
Well, environmentalists say not really, and anyway, the risks of drilling are too great. But McCauley says between all the new fields that could open up, this could really reduce our dependence on foreign oil in coming years.
Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman, thanks.
You're welcome.
At a United Nations summit today, officials hope to raise nearly $4 billion to fund recovery efforts in Haiti. That's just a fraction of the ultimate cost estimate. But relief experts say quick action is needed before hurricane season. Here's our New York Bureau Chief Amy Scott.
More than 100 countries will be represented at the summit. They'll be asked to reach deep into their pockets to help rebuild schools, hospitals, roads, and housing. Haitian President René Préval will present a 50-plus page action plan. The plan calls this opportunity to rebuild a rendezvous with history that Haiti cannot miss.
The big challenge now is supporting the Haitian government to assume control and authority over its own plan.
Steve Hollingworth is chief operating officer of the relief group CARE. He recognizes that many have been critical of the government's response to the earthquake, but he says before the disaster, the group saw some encouraging signs of cooperation.
These are things that the international donor community, the international NGO community can only do in conjunction with the government of Haiti, and we've got to support them now.
The plan calls for developing regional economic hubs outside of Port-au-Prince. The capital city was home to more than 65% of the country's economic activity. Wesleyan University's Alex Dupuy says decentralization is critical, but not if it means creating more low-wage garment industry jobs.
If the intention is to build more of these factories and to emphasize selective agricultural crops for export, then nothing will fundamentally change.
Dupuy says one priority is for Haiti to return to food self-sufficiency. He says the country is the world's fourth largest importer of rice from the U.S. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
People in Haiti are skeptical. Producer Anna Hale put that question to Patrick Etienne, a translator at a hospital in Haiti. He worries the government will misspend any international relief money.
A lot of the people who got hurt, who really need it, won't see any of it. If it falls down in the wrong hands, it will disappear like it's always disappeared.
Etienne says he'd prefer the U.S. government stepping in to administer all that money. European shares are up as much as a quarter of a percent at this hour. Asian stock markets rose almost 1% today. The Dow will be coming off a winning day from the 10,907 mark. A correction to our story here yesterday on government regulation of medical imaging devices. We mistakenly said MRI machines emit radiation. For the record, they do not.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Progressive Insurance, helping people shop for car insurance at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. by Citrix, offering GoToMyPC, providing remote access to a Mac or a PC from anywhere. More at gotomypc.com/market. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
Let's just say this is counterintuitive. The economic downturn has been driving the Brits away from drinking. Spending on booze in the UK is down by a record amount. From London Marketplace's Stephen Beard has more.
This is not supposed to happen. Tougher times should mean more people hit the bottle. But Britain's Office of National Statistics says the latest figures show the opposite. Sales of wine, spirits and beer in the UK have dropped. They fell by more than 6% last year, the largest fall in almost 50 years. The alcohol industry blames economising by consumers during the recession and a 25% hike in alcohol taxes over the past 2 years. Stephen Barton runs Brand Phoenix, one of Britain's biggest wine distributors.
No other industry has experienced a tax hit as the alcohol industry have in the most and steepest recession we've seen in a generation.
Health campaigners, however, have welcomed the drop in alcohol sales. They claim that alcohol abuse costs the state-run National Health Service more than $4 billion a year. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And finally, a story you can probably relate to if you've ever discovered you paid a lot for a drink that's mostly ice. Probably hasn't occurred to you to say, hold the ice when you're buying fish. An investigation of frozen seafood labeling was conducted recently by Weights and Measures officials in 17 states. In some cases, inspectors found up to 40% of the labeled weight was just ice. In fact, over the four-week period, they pulled more than 21,000 consumer packages off the market. An icy glaze is considered okay to keep seafood fresh, but nearly half the weight of what you're supposed to be buying? That's really fishy. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.